of two bankruptcies.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Despite the fact that some bondholders have already agreed to perhaps a chunkier share of equity in GM, it looks like the automaker is headed for Chapter 11 on Monday. Bloomberg reports this morning GM will sell most of its assets to a new company and rebuild around assets such as Chevy and Cadillac. Chrysler is back in bankruptcy court this morning. The sale of the company to Italian automaker Fiat could see approval today. At least that's what outgoing Chairman Robert Nardelli said during a marathon session in court yesterday. Tamara Keith has more.
Yesterday's testimony lasted 13 hours and wrapped up just shy of midnight. If the bankruptcy reorganization plan goes through, Fiat would own 20% of the new company. The U.S. and Canada would own about 12%, and the UAW would own the rest. But it's hardly a done deal at this point. More than 300 objections have been filed by lenders, dealers, and others. Among the most vocal opponents are three Indiana pension funds, which hold secured debt. They want to be paid back in full and say the government and Chrysler are cramming the plan through too quickly. The funds believe selling off Chrysler's various product lines individually would bring in more money. But Chrysler's Nardelli testified that wasn't really practical or possible. Fiat could back out of the deal if it isn't finalized by June 15th. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
There's some buying of stocks going on yesterday. S&P shares added about 1.5% to top 900 again. The Dow and NASDAQ each gained about 1.25% each. European markets are up right now, 1% and 1.5%. And Asian shares got some traction today, too. The Nikkei and Hang Seng were both up. We've heard a lot from security experts who warn cyber theft is a real possibility here in the United States. And the government and corporate computer networks are vulnerable. This morning, President Obama announces a new government plan to identify those threats and to protect vital information. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Hundreds of thousands of times a day, computers full of sensitive information are probed for security breaches by cyber criminals. James Lewis at the Center for Strategic and International Studies says the U.S. record on cybersecurity is poor.
Things are really bad. People keep looking for explosions or terrorism. That's not what you're going to see. This is a spy story. This is about foreign governments, foreign companies stealing information from U.S. companies and U.S. labs.
Lewis hopes the cybersecurity coordinator announced today will be based in the White House. He says that'll keep high-level attention on the challenges to both public and private sector computer networks.
This isn't regulating eBay or Amazon or Google. I really don't care about them. But when you're talking about the electrical grid or the banking sector or telecom, these are places we have to pay attention.
Previous efforts to protect cyber secrets have stumbled over intruding on the privacy of emails and other online communications. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
By the way, the New York Times reports today the Pentagon plans to get in on the act with a new cyberspace military command that would complement the civilian effort. We've heard the term penny for your thoughts. What about iPhone for your location? In Japan, Aoyama Gakuin University is giving away hundreds of the devices, the Apple devices, to its students. The phones will be used to relay course materials, but they'll also be equipped with GPS. It's a way to check attendance and catch truants. Attendance is a key requirement for graduation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. And by saveandinvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at saveandinvest.org.
Gold's been in the news a lot lately. There, of course, is the price for one thing. It's going for $973 an ounce now. Then there are all the folks prospecting for the yellow stuff right here in California. But if the promise of easy riches sounds too good to be true, at least in one popular mining area, it probably is. Here's Rico Galliano.
The Angeles National Forest is an hour's drive from Los Angeles, up twisty mountain roads. On a Tuesday morning, it's mostly empty, except for a stretch along the San Gabriel River. That's where dozens of prospectors camp out just about every day. Robert Herstrom is one of them.
So how long have you been doing this?
Not very long, a couple months.
And how you doing?
Not very good.
That's putting it mildly. After weeks of standing in the river, sifting soil through what's called a sluice box, Herstrom says he's found a fraction of a gram of gold dust, not worth enough to pay for his trip here. He doesn't mind. He's retired.
It's just recreational. Something to do. Stay out of watching TV.
He could be sincere, or hiding a wounded ego. But one thing's sure, lots of people have suddenly taken interest in this form of recreation. And some of them expect more than a good time. Sherry Rollman is a public affairs officer for the Angeles National Forest. She says over the last few months, gold fever has led to phone calls like this.
The gentleman from the East Coast said he'd spent the last of his savings on some mining equipment and wanted to know where he could go mining here on the Angeles National Forest.
This concerns Rollman, and not just because it's a kind of pathetic story.
Unfortunately, all of the lands on the Angeles were withdrawn from mineral entry by the 1928 Mining Act.
Which means it's illegal to take minerals out of this stretch of the San Gabriel River. The public parts of it, anyway. And the area is a patchwork of public and private land. It's hard for prospectors to know when they've strayed from one to the other. The Forest Service says they'll be taking a, quote, closer look to see if regulations are being violated. For now, though, prospectors keep hunting for treasure. One of them, an unemployed machinist named Don, uses this dredger. It sucks soil from the river bottom, hopefully along with gold. Even with the dredge, Don says he only finds an ounce a year, but I understand the allure when he shows me some of his stash.
I find a whole bunch of that.
Kind of looks like a test tube full of, like, gold flakes.
Yeah, bit little of this.
Wow, now those are the size of, like, pebbles. That's gorgeous stuff. You want to give me one of those?
No, thanks.
In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.